Hello and welcome to the Journeys Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Boca Raton Community High School. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and directions.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And as Pastor Nelson said, my name is Carrick, and I'm the pastor of the Journeys New York City campus. And I'm excited to be here with you today. My wife, Lori, and I, we've been married for 13 years, and we've got three kids. We have a four-year-old little boy named Hudson. We have two-year-old twins, Jackson and Sydney. And together, along with our little dog, we live in a 1,000-square-foot apartment in East Harlem in Manhattan. That's tight, you know, it's New York City living, but I always tell people we only live about a block and a half from Central Park, so even though it's a tiny apartment, we have the biggest backyard in the entire world, and we love it there, and I'm excited to be with you here today, and I want you to know that our New York City campus is so proud of what you guys are doing here in South Florida. We pray for you constantly, and I want to personally thank you for allowing Pastor Nelson to come up to New York from time to time to teach. In fact, he was just up in New York a couple of weeks ago as we celebrated our 10th anniversary as a church in New York City. And that was an exciting time, and thank you for letting him come up from time to time. And like you, in New York, we're in the middle of this financial peace teaching series. We kicked it off last week in New York, and in fact, it was a record day at our church. We had over 1,000 people at just our Manhattan campus, and we've got over 1,200 people signed up for one of these financial peace growth groups. And just like you, we're reading the new Dave Ramsey book, The Complete Guide to Money, in our growth groups, and we're anticipating that God is going to do some great things during this series. In fact, he already is. Well, today, I want to talk to you specifically about how to make wise financial decisions. So look inside of your program, find your message notes, and pull those out. And as you're doing that, I want you to think about it. You and I, we're faced with financial decisions every day of our life. Some of them are big, and some of them are small. And for the most part, we try to make wise decisions, don't we? But sometimes we end up making decisions that aren't so wise. For instance, there were two brothers. Their names were Richard and Maurice. And they had a dream that together that they would become millionaires. And that's a big dream for anybody. That's a lot of money. But this was in the 1950s. So this was a very big dream. They wanted to be millionaires. So to pursue that dream, they went in together and they started this restaurant. And this restaurant, it was pretty successful. It was so successful, they brought on a business partner named Ray. And Ray helped them open up different restaurants around. And things were going well. They were being successful. The only problem was they weren't anywhere close to becoming millionaires. But after a few years, their partner, Ray, approached them and offered to buy the restaurant for $1 million. And this was in 1961. It was a lot of money. And then they jumped at the offer. They wanted to be millionaires. This was their dream. So they sold their restaurant to Ray for $1 million and instantly became millionaires. Now, was that a wise financial decision? Well, I didn't tell you an important part of the story. I didn't tell you their full name. It was Richard and Maurice McDonald. And their new restaurant was called McDonald's. And they sold it to Ray Kroc in 1961 for $1 million. And through Ray Kroc's leadership over the next 50 years, it became the biggest restaurant in the entire world with get this, over 30,000 locations in over 120 countries. Their annual sales are over $21 billion. In other words, the restaurant they sold for $1 million today makes $65 million daily. So maybe it wasn't the wisest financial decision that they could have made. Now, most of us don't have the opportunity to make financial decisions that are on that scale. But every day, we're faced with financial decisions that are just as important to our lives. We face financial decisions that are either going to take us a step closer to financial peace, or they're going to take us a step closer to financial stress. And that's what I want to look at today, because in the Bible, we find God's principles about how to make wise financial decisions. So look in your notes. I want you to see our first verse. Let's read it out loud together with a lot of financial peace enthusiasm. Are you ready? Go. Leave your foolish ways behind and begin to live. Learn how to be wise. I want you to circle that last word, wise. The Bible says we should learn how to be wise with our money as well. And I think all of us want to be wise, don't we? I mean, we want to make wise financial decisions. None of you woke up this morning and said, man, today I hope I make a dumb financial decision. I hope I make a decision. I'm just going to throw my money away. None of us want to do that. But sometimes we do. And so how do I know if I'm not making wise financial decisions? How do I know if I'm not receiving God's wisdom when it comes to my money? Well, if you look in your notes, you're going to see some signs that you're not being wise with your money. In fact, there are seven of them. And I want you to write these down. Now, I want to be clear. These are signs you are not being wise with your money. In fact, if you're doing all of these, don't think, hey, I'm doing pretty good. No, these are signs that you're not being wise. So stay with me. Signs that I'm not being wise. Okay, here's the first sign. If my debt is growing or I'm making the minimum monthly payment. If my debt is growing or I'm making the minimum monthly payment. Here's the truth. If your debt is greater now than it was last month, if your debt is greater now than it was at the beginning of the year, it's a sign that you're not making wise financial decisions. You're going in the wrong way. If you're paying the minimum on your credit card debt, if you're paying the minimum on your student loan debt, well, first of all, you're just throwing your money away. You're going to extend that payment, and you're throwing money away. It's a sign you're not making wise financial decisions. Here's the second sign that you're not making wise financial decisions. That's if I miss one paycheck, and I can't pay my bills. So if your paycheck were to be late this month, would you be able to pay your bills? If your paycheck were to be late, would you have a hard time making your mortgage or making your rent? And if not, that's a sign you're not making wise financial decisions. You have no margin in your life. You see, God wants you to have margin. So if something goes wrong in your life, if you have an emergency, it's not really an emergency. In fact, in the book we're reading by Dave Ramsey, The Complete Guide to Money, we're reading this in our growth group, it suggests that you have 4 to 6 months of savings set aside. So if an emergency happens, it's not really an emergency. You have some margin in your life. Here's the third sign you're not making wise financial decisions. My spouse and I fight constantly over money. My spouse and I fight constantly over money. Money is the number one cause of divorce. Conflict over money within the marriage is the number one cause of divorce in our marriages. So if you're constantly fighting with your spouse over money, or if you've gotten to the point where you can't even talk about money without getting into an argument. In fact, if you're writing down notes, you're sitting beside your spouse and you won't look at them right now, that's not a good sign. Or if you just got an elbow to the ribs, That's a sign that you're not making wise financial decisions. Here's number four. I don't put money into savings or retirement. I don't put money into savings or retirement. See, it doesn't matter what stage of life that you're in. Whether you're just starting out after finishing school or whether you're nearing retirement, you ought to be putting money every month into retirement. And if you haven't been doing that, start with just something small. But, you know, experts say move up to 10%. You want to have 10% going into savings and retirement, no matter what stage of life you're in. Now, if you're at this point and you've put, what I want you to do is I want you to put a check mark next to each of these that are present in your life. And if so far you've put a check mark next to each one of them, you can stop putting check marks because we've got some changes to make. And here's the next one. Number five, I made at least one impulsive purchase last week. An impulsive purchase. In other words, it was unplanned. You bought something that you didn't really need and you couldn't really afford. Maybe you went out and bought clothes. Maybe you went out and you bought the new iPhone 5. And your iPhone 4 was just fine, but they did a great job of advertising. You just had to have it. And so you went and you splurged. So did you make at least one impulsive purchase last week? Here's number six. Because of my financial situation, I feel, this is a big one, I can't obey God. Because of my financial situation, I feel that I can't obey God. You know, I've seen over the years so many people in our church who with all their heart, they want to obey God. You know, they want to tithe. They want to give to the poor. They want to go on a mission trip. They want to give to the special Christmas offering when it comes around. But because of unwise financial decisions that they made, they feel like they can't obey God. And if that's you, it's a sign that you haven't made wise financial decisions. And then here's the last one. I'm constantly stressed about money. I'm constantly stressed. I'm losing sleep. I think about money all the time and the issues it's causing me. If that's you, you're not making wise financial decisions. Listen, financial peace doesn't come from making more money. It comes when we make wise, godly decisions with the money that we already have. And listen, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always got. And if you keep ignoring God's wisdom, you're going to keep experiencing the same financial stress that you're already feeling. So if you want something different, it's going to take making different decisions. It's going to take looking to God for his wisdom for every financial decision that we make. So I want you to open your message notes up to the inside, and let's look at four game-changing decisions to financial peace. Four game-changing decisions to financial peace. Here's number one. Write this down. Choose a godly plan over blind hope. Choose a godly plan over blind hope. You know, for many people, their financial plan consists of seeing something they want, buying that thing, and then later hoping that they can afford it or pay for it. I mean, is that your financial strategy? If so, that's financial planning by blind hope. You know, I see the TV I want, or I see the clothes that I want, or I decide on the vacation that I deserve, or I see the home that I want, and I sign the mortgage because I want it, but I don't think about it. I get it because it's what I want. It feels right, but in reality, I didn't think through if I could afford it. I didn't think through what that implication was on my financial future, or what it would look like, or how it would affect me going forward. Listen, hope is not a viable financial strategy. It's just not. Instead, if we're wise, we're going to have to make time to develop a godly plan. Now, let me tell you what a godly plan is. It is, and you're not going to like this because for some of you this is a dirty word, but it means creating a budget. The B word, budget. But listen, a budget doesn't have to be scary. A budget is simply you telling your money where you want it to go instead of wondering where it all went. And a budget allows you to have money left over at the end of the month instead of always having month left over at the end of your money. And see, if you have a budget, get this, if you have a budget, you're going to have less stress. You're going to have fewer arguments with your spouse. You're going to have less debt in your life. You're going to have less uncertainty. You're going to have a greater peace of mind if you're living by a budget. Look at our next verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16. Will you read this out loud with me, beginning with wise? Ready? Go. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't and even brag about it. That's strong language, right? You're a fool if you're not planning. But it says wise people think before they act. Financially speaking, wise people create a budget before they spend their money. They tell their money where they want it to go instead of wondering where it went. Now, for a lot of people, a budget seems like it's confining. It seems like it's no fun. But in reality, a budget is the key to your financial freedom. It's the key to your financial peace. Now, I've literally seen a simple budget save a marriage because it will dramatically decrease your fights over money. And listen, if you're single, it's even better to start when you're single to have a budget and carry that over when you get married. If you want to create a budget, it's simple. You simply get out a blank piece of paper. This is how you do it. Get out a blank piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, you put everything that you make. If you're married, you put your income and your spouse's income. It's not his and hers, it's ours. Everything that you make over the course of a month, you write it down. Then on the left-hand side, you're going to put where your money goes, where you want it to go. You heard Pastor Nelson teach last week on the 70% principle to lasting wealth. You start by putting the first 10% is going back to God. I'm going to tithe with the first 10%. Now listen, when it comes to the tithe, money management experts have discovered this a long time ago. If you pick up a money management book that's out there at Barnes & Noble and you open it up, you'll see they're telling you, take the first 10%. If you're a Christian, give that to your church. If you're not, give it to charity. Why do they say that that's important? Number one, when you give the first 10% back to God, it helps you to be disciplined with the other 90%. That's a huge help. And then secondly, it also helps you defeat the enemy of materialism. When you're generous with what God has blessed you with, that's the first step to overcoming the desire for more, the hold that materialism has over you. And then, of course, if you're a Christian, you know that if you honor God with the first 10%, he's going to bless the other 90%. So you've got your budget. You split down the middle. You've got everything you earn on one side. The first 10% goes to God on the right side. The second 10%, if you're in debt, remember, that goes to pay down your debt. The third 10%, it goes to savings or towards your retirement. And then you need to figure out how you're going to live on the other 70%. And you should be able to live off that 70%. And so what you do is you begin to subtract all of the bills, you know, your mortgage, your rent, what you spend on transportation, on your car, on gas, how much you spend on food and entertainment. You lay it out. And then at the bottom, you see how much is left over. Now, if you don't have enough money to pay for everything, like most Americans, you're living beyond your means. And that's an important thing to figure out. But let's just say at the end of the month you have $500 left over on the right-hand side. Then you get to decide how you're going to spend that. You know, maybe you take $100 and you put an extra $100 to paying down debt. Maybe you take $200 and you say, that's going to be our entertainment money. We're going to go out on dates and we're going to use it that way. Maybe you give each of you, if you're married, $100 and say, that's your fun money. Do whatever you want to do with that. But you're telling your money where you want it to go. Look, creating and sticking to a budget will reduce your anxiety. It will lower your debt. It will limit the fights you have with your spouse because you're giving God control. Now, maybe you're thinking, what's going to be too hard for me to come up with a budget? No, it's not. You know, in fact, you can go on our website. If you go to the bocajourney.com and you find, you click on resources, you'll see a link to financial resources. You click on there and we have a budget resource, a very simple budget resource. You click on that, download it. It'll show you how to come up with a monthly budget that will help you get on God's plan. So create a budget. Say it with me. Are you ready? Go. Create a budget. Good job. And so here's the question. Do I have a monthly budget that tells my money where I want it to go? That's the question. Then flip your notes over. Here's the second game-changing decision to financial peace. Write this down. Choose cash over credit. Choose cash over credit. This is a big one. It's a simple concept, but it's a hard one. But the idea is to pay for as much as possible in your life with cash instead of credit cards. Now, why should you do that? Well, it's simple. If you're paying cash for everything, it's very hard for you to go into debt. Did you know that? Think about this. On average, if you walk into a store with one of these credit cards, if you walk into a store with a credit card, you're liable to spend 23% more than if you walked in with cash. Studies show that. And do you know why that's the case? Because I don't feel like I'm losing anything when I put it on a credit card. I go in with a credit card, I come out with a credit card. My wallet's not any lighter, and I say, well, I'll pay for this. It doesn't feel like we're spending anything or costing. We'll spend 23% more using one of these walking in. We'll feel like we're okay. But if I walk in with cash, and I have to empty out my wallet to pay for something, I begin to think about how expensive this really is. And so if you make the commitment to use cash instead of credit, you're automatically going to spend 23% less on purchases that you don't really need. You know, people use credit cards, and as a result, now 7 out of 10 of us are in credit card debt. And the average person who's in credit card debt owes $17,000 to their credit card company. But the truth is, you can't get into debt paying cash for everything. And it's a lot harder to make impulsive purchases on things that you don't need. Now, living in New York is a big help to me with this, because if I'm walking down the streets of Manhattan and I step into a deli, they don't take credit cards. They only take cash. And so if I walk in and I want to get a soda, I pull out my cash, I pull up the soda, and they say, hey, that's going to be $7.50 for that soda. I'm like, you know, that's going to be a lot. I'm more likely to put it down. So living in New York helps me with this. You see, in fact, if you're paying cash instead of paying credit, you're less likely to do something dumb like this. Take a look. Listen, God doesn't want you in debt. Debt is disobedience to God. In fact, look back in your notes. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says this. It says, owe what? Nothing. Will you circle that word, nothing? It says, owe nothing to anyone except love. Look, I know we like using our credit cards. It's really easy. It's really convenient. And then best of all, we get Sky Miles, right? I hear so many people say, well, I can't give up my credit cards because I make so much money in Sky Miles. Listen, I've watched those biographies of the millionaires and the billionaires who built these great empires. It's interesting. Not one of them built their empire on Sky Miles. It just didn't happen. They didn't get rich that way. Use a credit card only if you're responsible and you pay it off every month. But understand this. God does not want you in debt. And if you have credit card debt and it's growing, then you need to do something now. You need to cut them up. You need to get rid of them, but you need to find a way to get out of debt. So pay cash. Say that with me. Are you ready? Go. Pay cash. And so here's the question. Did I pay off my credit card completely this month? Be honest with yourself. And that leads us to the third game-changing decision to financial peace, and it's this. Choose discipline over debt. Choose discipline over debt. Now, I know what you're thinking. Discipline, that sounds like a bad word. But you know what? Debt sounds even worse, doesn't it? So choose discipline over debt. Here's an example. A newly married couple has a decision to make. They're going to get their first home. And they have two choices. They have their dream home, right? It's the home they've always dreamed of, and it's exactly where they want to live, but it's over their budget. It's over what they said they could spend. Then they can choose the starter home. And the starter home is what it is. It's a starter home. It's not as big. It's not as nice. But it's adequate. It's everything that they need. And it comes in below their budget. Now, the dream home is big. Like I said, it's big and it's beautiful. And if they choose the dream home, they go into debt. I mean, they immediately go into a great deal of debt. And all of a sudden, they begin arguing because they're unable to make their mortgage, they're unable to make their bills. It adds a great deal of stress. And then after a few years, they end up not being able to pay the mortgage. They lose their house. They've actually mortgaged their financial future, and they're in really bad shape going forward. But the couple that chose discipline, if you choose the starter house, that was choosing discipline over debt. They chose the starter house. They moved in that starter house. It was fine. They were happy there. And then they were able to take the extra money and put it into savings. So 6 or 7 years later, they had a great down payment on that same dream house. And they were able to put that payment towards their dream house and move into it almost debt-free 6 or 7 years later. That was the wise decision. It was the disciplined decision. Listen, if you go into debt, you lose. But if you choose discipline, you win every time. It's that simple. You see, discipline is when we decide to put off instant gratification in order to receive greater rewards for ourselves and for those we love later on. That's discipline. It's saying, hey, I'm going to put aside the immediate gratification now in order to receive greater rewards for me and the people I care about later on. And discipline is a sign of spiritual maturity. Discipline is a sign that you have inner strength. Look at our next verse, Proverbs 21:20. In fact, let's read this one out loud together, beginning with thee. Are you ready? Go. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Fools spend whatever money comes in. You know, Lori and I faced this choice earlier this year, this choice between debt and discipline. I mean, we needed a new couch. And when I say we needed a new couch, I'm not saying we wanted a new couch. We desperately needed a new couch because our current couch, it had gone through the birth of three kids, all of their spit up. They'd marked on it with markers. We couldn't get it off. And we've got a Jack Russell Terrier that sheds everywhere. He sleeps on it as his bed. It stunk. It was dirty. We needed a new couch. And in January, we knew we needed it, and we had a choice. We could either put it all on our credit card, which we couldn't afford right at that moment, and go into credit card debt, or we could say, hey, we need to start saving for it now. And we made the choice of discipline over debt, and we began putting aside money every month. And after 6 months, we were able to pay for that couch with cash and not take on any debt whatsoever. And now we don't have any stress about it. It's ours. We're free and clear. We chose discipline over going into debt. Look, it always seems like a good idea to purchase now. But understand, there are always consequences later on. There's the debt, there's the stress, there's the worry, there are the arguments. Make the decision today to exchange instant gratification for financial peace now and for greater financial rewards later on. And so here's your question. Did I make an unplanned and unneeded purchase this week? I want you to be honest. Are you making unplanned and unneeded purchases that are putting you into debt and they're not disciplined? Then flip your notes over to the back. Here's the fourth and final game-changing decision to financial peace. Write this down. Choose open-handed living over closed-handed living. Choose open-handed living over closed-handed living. And when you write that down, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your hand and I want you to hold it out, palm up and open. Will you do that right now? This represents open-handed living. Just do that right now. Physically do that. This represents open-handed living. Now, I want you to take that same hand, and I want you to squeeze it into a fist. Squeeze it tight. Don't you already feel more angry when you've got the fist closed like this? Yeah, you want to punch somebody, but this is close-fisted. And we've got a choice. Are we going to live open-handed, or are we going to live close-fisted? You know, in the Old Testament, we read a great story about the Israelite people. God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. They've been in slavery for 400 years. God brings them out of Egypt, and he makes this incredible promise. He says, I'm going to take you to a new land, to a promised land, and I am going to bless your doors off. I'm going to throw so many blessings at you. But as they prepared to be blessed by God and to receive this prosperity that he wanted to give them, he made one very important request. In fact, it was a command. It wasn't a suggestion, but it was a clear, unambiguous, direct command, and this is what he said to them. Deuteronomy 15:11. God says, I command you to be what? Circle that word open-handed. I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Look, God said, I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you with everything I have. But get this, if you're going to be close-fisted, if you're going to be close-handed, if you're going to be selfish with what I've blessed you with, that I can remove my blessing from your life as quickly as I gave it. I'm going to bless you if you make a promise that you're going to be open-handed with the people in your life. If you're going to be open-handed with me, you're going to be open-handed with the less fortunate and the poor. That was God's command. He said, I'll continue to bless you if you'll do that. Listen, that's the primary reason God blesses you and I with the things in our lives, because he wants us to be a blessing to others. You have been blessed by God because he wants you to be a blessing to others. The blessings that he gives and brings into your life and gives to you, he wants you to use to bless other people as well. And God continues to bless those who will use his blessings to bless others. And he will pull his blessings away from those who hold on to those blessings selfishly and don't use them to be a blessing to others. And that means for you and me that we don't have to be afraid to live generously. It means that we don't have to be afraid to live open-handedly. Because when God blesses your life, if you will honor him and you will use those blessings to bless others, he's going to continue to bless you. And this means living with an open hand to the poor. It means living with an open hand with your family and your friends. It means living with an open hand to God and honoring him with your finances. It means honor him by bringing back your tithe. Because when we do that, God can bless us more. And because he'll bless us more because he knows he can trust us to be a blessing towards others. He knows he can trust us to live open-handed with open-handed living. Remember, God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. You know, sometimes we wonder why we're so stressed out financially. Sometimes we wonder why we can't sleep or we worry about finances all the time. Sometimes we wonder why God isn't blessing this area of our life. And a lot of times it's because we're living close-fisted. We're not living open-handed. You see, God can't bless you if you're living close-fisted. In fact, take your hand again and make it into a fist. Can someone put anything into a closed fist? You see, our selfishness makes it impossible for God to give us anything. We can't receive anything from God because our hand is closed. But if we open up our hands and we say, okay, God, I know that every good thing I have comes from you. And I understand that you bless me to be a blessing. And I'm going to be a blessing to my family. I'm going to be a blessing to my friends. I'm going to be a blessing to the church. I'm going to be a blessing to the poor and to the less fortunate. I'm going to live open-handed. When your hand is open like this, God can pour more blessings into your life. And he will, because he knows he can trust you to use it in a way that honors him and bless others. Trust God enough to live with an open hand. Not only will you be happier, but God will bless you more. And so here's our last question. Do I make excuses not to live generously? Am I afraid to live open-handed? Look, this applies not just to us as individuals, but it applies to our church as well. I mean, are we going to be a closed-fisted church? Or are we going to be an open-handed church? You know, I just want to say that I am so proud of you guys. And I know I'm up in New York with the Journeys campus in New York City, but I'm so proud of you guys. Now, number one, I have not seen God work in a young church as quickly and as more powerfully as he's doing in this church. I mean, I want you to know, you're 18 months old as a church, and I've never seen a church grow this much. I've never seen a church having the impact on their area as you're having at such a young age. God is blessing you. And one of the reasons is because you guys are so generous. You're giving to the poor. You're involved with different ministry organizations in this city. You're doing some great things. And I'm incredibly proud. And I'm incredibly proud just to be a part of the Journey Church, because we've always made that commitment that we're going to be generous, that we're going to be an open-handed church. You see, you can see that in the ways as a church that we've always given to the poor, the way we've always given back to our community. I mean, you see it as we kick off Financial Peace. I mean, if you sign up for one of our Financial Peace growth groups, we're going to give you a copy of the book, of the Dave Ramsey book, The Complete Guide to Money. You can sign up for a group today. We're going to give you a copy of that book for being in. We're being generous in doing that. And then next week, Pastor Nelson is going to teach a message on God's principles to getting out of debt. And we're going to do something incredibly generous. We're going to give away $1,000. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. As a church, we're going to give away $1,000 to one person who attends next Sunday to help pay down whatever debt that they're in. Now, a closed-fisted church doesn't do that, but an open-handed, generous church does. And next week, by the way, is also a great opportunity for you to live open-handed as well. I mean, don't you have coworkers, family members, friends, people in your life who need to hear God's principles on money management, who are in debt and need to hear God's plan on how to get out of debt. You need to be open-handed by inviting them to come with you next week as we talk about debt. Maybe they come because they want to win the $1,000 debt pay down, but maybe they receive something else, something on a higher level, something more spiritual from God. Don't keep how God is blessing you through this series to yourself, but invite someone who needs to hear this series to come with you next week. Now look up here for a moment. You and I, we face financial decisions every day of our lives. Some of them are really big, some of them are really small. And maybe we don't make decisions like the McDonald brothers that are million, potentially billion-dollar decisions. Maybe we're not making those. But we make those decisions every day, don't we? And we make decisions that are every bit as important. Decisions that will determine our financial future. Decisions like, do I put this couch on credit card or do I save up for it? Decisions like, do I sign a mortgage on the starter home or do I go for my dream home that I can't yet afford? Decisions like, do I buy this iPhone or is my iPhone 4 adequate for me right now so I don't have to go into further debt? Listen, if you will choose God, the Bible is clear. He will give you the wisdom you need to make the wise choice, to make the best choice for your life. And he will lead you on the path away from financial stress and towards financial peace. And so let me ask you, what decision are you facing this week? What financial decision do you have in your life this week? Instead of just moving forward, maybe making the decision like you always have, would you stop and take a moment and pray and ask God for his wisdom? Ask God, God, am I following your principles here? Am I making a decision that's following your principles that's going to lead me to financial peace? Or am I making a decision that's away from your will that's going to lead me to financial stress? You know, if we really want to be wise, the wisest decision that you can ever make is to trust God with your eternal life, to trust him with your salvation. You know, maybe you're here today and you need to make the wisest decision that you've ever made. You need to make the decision to become a follower of Jesus, to become a Christian for the very first time. And it's a big decision, but it's a simple one. It's where you come to God and say, God, I need your wisdom in my life. I want to follow you. I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent your son to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that he was raised again on the third day. God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. I want to follow your principles. I want to follow your wisdom. If you do that, God will answer that prayer today. He will give you his wisdom, and he will give you eternal life today. God wants to give you the wisdom you need in all areas of your life. Will you look at our final verse? It's our memory verse for this week. Let's read it out loud together, beginning with if. Are you ready? Go. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Will you bow your heads with me, and let's pray together. As we pray right now, I just want you to ask God for his wisdom. Just ask God for his wisdom in whatever decision you have. Just pray this prayer in your heart. God, I need your wisdom for my life. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your wisdom for my family. I need your wisdom for my marriage. I need your wisdom for raising my kids. I need your wisdom for my career. And God, today I need your wisdom for financial peace, for my financial decisions. Just right now in your heart, make that commitment. God, I'm going to seek your wisdom. I'm going to follow your principles when it comes to making financial decisions. And maybe today you need to make that wisest decision that you've ever made, and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to become a follower of him. If that's you, just in your heart, will you pray this prayer? God, today, I'm committing my life to follow you. In the past, God, I've made all my decisions based on my own wisdom, and it's gotten me into trouble. But today, God, I want to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Secure my eternity forever. And Father, I'm going to follow you. Give me your wisdom to live life at the highest level. Father, we thank you for your wisdom that you give us in Scripture. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. This is only part of what you can experience live at The Journey. When you join us for a Sunday service, you can expect practical teaching, rockin' music, casual dress, a great kids program, and a church experience that's actually fun. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and information. If you would like to give to the ministry of The Journey, you can give online anytime at www.bocajourney.com/giving. If you have questions or feedback, please email us at info@bocajourney.com.